everyone, and welcome to our podcast mini-series, where we speak with leading women across the manufacturing, energy, and industrial sectors. I'm Jackie Scanlon-Dias, your host for this episode. I'm an M&A partner here at Hogan Lovells in Tokyo, and I'm the regional lead for corporate in Japan and the co-lead for the firm's global manufacturing and industrials industry sector group. Today, I am absolutely delighted to be joined by Toshimi Itakura-san. Itakura-san is the general counsel for Sojitz Corporation, a Japanese trading company engaged in a very diverse range of businesses, which I am looking forward to hearing more about today. Welcome, Itakura-san.
Thank you, Jackie.
So let's start diving into what does Sojitz do. Could you please give our listeners a brief insight into the structure and business of a Japanese trading company, or a sogo shosha, as they're referred to in Japan?
Okay. I understand general trading house, as we called it sogo shosha here in Japan. In my understanding, it's very unique to Japan and Korea, and I believe we do not see in other countries. As you can tell from its name, sogo shosha, it originally started with the trading of commodities such as textile. However, as the business became bigger, not only expanding the variety of the commodities it trades, but it has transformed its business into investment in various rights and interests in various resources and M&A into companies. So that's what our company does as well. So as for Sojitz, we have 7 business divisions divided by the type of industries. As of March 2024, we have automotive division, aerospace transportation project division, infrastructure and healthcare division, metal, mineral resources and recycling division, chemical division, consumer industry and agriculture and business division, and retail and consumer service division. So as you can tell from the variety of industries we cover, we trade various products and also invest and undergo M&As in many different fields.
Thank you for that explanation. I'm already adding another question to our list. How do you manage to cover all these different industry sectors, very different than many of our clients who are just focused on one industry sector? So tell me, Itakura-san, with that many different business units, how do you structure your legal team?
So we have 7 sections in our legal team. In total, about 78 members for the time being. So we have 1, 2, 3, 4 sections, which covers the divisions I just explained to you. And then we have 3 compliance sections, which covers imports, export compliance, and also general compliance. So how we divide up our team is section 1, for example, section 1 covers the chemical division, section 2 covers automotive division, section 3 covers like other divisions. So we sort of divide up the team with the industry we do as a company. And then compliance trading, we do a lot of trading, of course, so we cover exports, imports by the trade compliance sections. And also we cover like sort of general compliance by the compliance team.
Excellent. And just one other question on that. You have legal teams in Japan and in other countries as well. Which other countries do you have legal teams in?
So we have legal team in a way where we have rotational staff. Mm-hmm. We have one in New York, then one in Amsterdam and Dubai and Singapore and China. And we recently established one in Vietnam.
Fantastic. For those who are not so familiar with Japanese corporate culture, it's very common, particularly if you're in a trading house, to be posted to another country for a 2 or 3 year period to learn about the business in that country and support those subsidiaries. Look, Itakura-san, as a general counsel of, you know, one of Japan's leading trading houses, you've had to navigate a very complex legal landscape to get there. Could you share a little bit about your journey and what has led you to this position?
Okay, so maybe one thing before I go into my history, one thing I think is very important for an in-house counsel to have as the mindset is to be interested in the business itself of the business department you're in charge of, and their strategies and the future pipelines of their business in their strategies. In a way, in-house counsel need to be the promoter of the business, in my understanding. And as much as they are in the specialist of a legal industry, this, I believe, is the biggest difference from being a private practice lawyer like you. So I started with Sojitsu in year 2005. But when I applied for a position in Sojitsu, I actually applied for a business department position.
Oh, okay.
But fortunately or unfortunately, Sojitsu offered me a position in a legal department. And after some long consideration, which was not easy, I have decided to join the legal department. So I have been with the legal department since then. But however, the fact that I like the business team and I wanted to be a business person, have a position, like positive impression towards the business team, when I like give the advice to them or like propose some suggestion to their business, and that is helping me a lot to pursue my career in the legal department. And if you don't know what the business team wants in their business, you will not be able to provide an appropriate and a practical suggestion to them. So I feel that it's very important for you to have a like business point of view when you do the business. I have a long career, about 20 years in Sojitsu as a legal member, but I try not to forget the perspective throughout my career.
I think that is really wonderful advice for the younger lawyers listening. Having a genuine interest in your business team's objectives, commercial objectives, or if you're in private practice, in your client's business. Very, very good advice. Tell me, you know, you have risen to great heights in corporate Japan. Have there been any mentors or leaders who have been particularly valuable for you in your career?
That's a good question. And then actually, I have asked this question from many people. And also, I have heard like young women, lawyers, in-house lawyers or colleagues that they are facing difficulties not having one to look up to. Actually, I don't have a perfect exact mentor whom I feel I would like to be. But I think that's fine because you are all different and you won't be able to find somebody exactly how you want it to be. But what you can do is that I'm pretty sure that you have somebody you respect in some aspect or respect in some way they do the work. Or respect some way they do communicate to the business team or client. So when you find those people, you try to sort of cherry pick the parts you like, and it just create your own hypothetical mentor. I'm sort of doing that kind of thing for myself.
I love the way you've answered that question. For many people who may not have a mentor, there is clearly a path forward for them then using those solutions. But now you are a mentor, you're a leader in corporate Japan. What advice would you give to aspiring professionals looking to advance their career like you have done?
So I think it's very important to have a big dream or goal that you can come back to from time to time when you face challenges on your way to pursue your career. So it's quite important to have a short-term goals as well, just to strive or make effort towards. But many times those short goals, you may fail to achieve the goal or you may have difficulty to sort of get to the goal. But if you have a big dream of your life or like life career, you will not need to give up on that big career, big goal that you can try to find, like try to create a different small goal. If you have a big dream or big goal. So that's one tip I wanted to give to the future legal professional or any other professionals. Mm-hmm. And also, the other one is to be flexible to new things or issues and don't stick to your past experience. I assume like the world surrounding us is like changing in a, like a dramatical way with a huge like wave of upheaval and instability. So it's really difficult to just stick to your past like a success or past experience you have done or past suggestion you have made to the clients or business team, because you always have to come up with new idea solution based on the current environment, the current situation they are facing. So I feel that you need to be very flexible to new issues and new challenges you're facing. So I think that's the two practical tips that I can give to the young professionals. But a bit broadly, there's three tips I'm always giving to the JD students
mm-hmm.
that I make lecture to. And so there's three tips that I give, and I thought it may be good to share here as well.
Thank you. Yeah.
If I can.
Please.
So first one is value and love your own life. I think this is most important for you to live through anything, live through your career, live through your private life. I feel this is really important to value your own life. And the second one is that find your own talent and thrive to develop it to best of your ability and try to use it for the people around you. So I believe nobody is born without a talent. It just is that you don't realize your talent, but you have one for sure. So if you have one and you know for sure, that's good. And in that case, I want you to try to use that for other people around you. And people around you will use their talent for you if you do that. And if we don't find one yet, then try to ask manager to find with you or ask your family to find with you, and you will find for sure. So that's my second tip. And the last one is don't give up on your dream. Share your dream with others around you. And if you try it for 10 years, it will come true. That's my life belief.
Thank you, Itakura-san. That is incredibly kind of you to share those kind of life tips with us. One of the beauties of working in cross-border M&A is that my team get to work with people from many different countries and cultures. And I thought that was a really beautiful bit of Japanese culture and approach to life coming out there. So I do appreciate you sharing that with us. Women in corporate Japan, right? It's a very topical area. We had Abenomics, we had womenomics, we have this increasing trend of trying to get women back into work and staying in work in Japan. But there are a number of challenges for us working here. What have been your experience as a woman growing your career in Japan?
So I feel that there are some like phases or stages to the life for women working in Japan. And I think the first is without husband or without children, and second with husband maybe and with children, and then going forward with their like manager like position. So as for me, I have divided into like 7 phases for this. So first phase was like OJT phase, where I had a freedom to just work and like concentrate work and concentrate on my own time, acting same as others working in the company and working for long hours, etc. So my second phase was the phase where I studied abroad in LLM in the United States. So I went to Duke Law School to study law. And so it wasn't the work, but I also had the freedom at the time to use the time for myself and study abroad. So this was quite really, really beneficial for me because I could learn pure legal knowledge at the time and just focusing on studying without any work constraint. So this was a very good time for me to develop my legal skills. So that's my second phase. And third phase is after going back from the studying in the LLM, I was in charge of substantial material projects, lots of them. And I used my like legal knowledge, which I learned from the law school, into my work. So, and I had like more than 3 years of substantial working experience in many projects after I came back from my LLM. So that's my third phase. And my fourth phase is I got pregnant after that. So I got the baby and my sort of lifestyle has changed. I don't know, when you are pregnant, you just become a bit calm somehow. I wasn't as aggressive as before. And I can like accommodate much more complaints than before without getting like angry or getting upset. So that's my third stage, becoming pregnant and working at the same time. And then my first phase was that my husband was sent to London while I was pregnant, or it has been decided that I'm pregnant. So we decided to go with him together to London. So I had a new life in London working. I was also working, so working and also having a 1 year old baby with us, putting him into nursery 5 days a week, 10 hours a day. Like it was total different life for me. And then seventh phase is that after I came back, I became a manager and a general manager. So my like work style is a bit different, becoming in a manager position. Redo. That's the history of my career.
Thank you for sharing that with us. I love the way you broke that down into the different phases. Many of our women listeners will identify with those and have had similar experiences. One thing that kind of stood out to me through that is, you know, resilience and determination and staying power. You've pushed through all these different experiences, moving to a new country with a young baby, not an easy thing to do. Were there any specific experiences that you have had that not only strengthened your professional skills, but contributed to you to make you this strong, resilient person?
That's a good question and a good phase you picked. I was going to pick fifth phase for this question. So in my personal experience where I got like current resilience that I may have now is from the fifth phase I just talked, when my whole family was in London starting a new life. So the first one is the environment. So it was my first time to work abroad in a substantial way. So I was working in Saudi and I had time in the United States when I was young with my family, my own family, my father, mother, and my sister. But it was my very first time to substantially work abroad. So it was one of the challenges I had in London. And the second one was the work itself. So I had a great chance to be seconded to an international law firm and working as a private practice lawyer. So I have been in-house all through my career until up to then. So it was my very first time to do any private practice. So it was being a private practice lawyer and in-house lawyer is in a way totally different. So it was my new challenge as well. And the fact was that it was the first case for my company and also in a way first case for the international law firm to accept my level. So they are, you may know, there are law firms accepting like a trainee level counsels into their law firm, but I was like already like my 12th year or 11th year of my experience in my own company. So it was their first time as well. So everything was new and nobody know what to do. So I have to sort of explore myself, what I can do during that time. So it was a huge challenge for me. And then the third one was family. So I had 1 year old baby who didn't speak much Japanese either, but who didn't speak English either. We had to put him into a local nursery because there weren't any Japanese like nursery in London. So we put him into local nursery and then we sort of coordinate each other. I and my husband coordinate each other to pick him up and also like try to find a good like nanny. And so those things are totally new for me, for whole family. So that was like, I faced like three new challenges, and fortunately I overcome all of the challenges in a good way. So through those like experience, I feel that I got like a good resilience in my life.
So resilience built up from your life experiences Then you came back to Japan from the UK, and clearly Sojitz recognized your fantastic skill set and resilience, and you were appointed as a manager. One of the questions I was wondering about, especially as you are very commercial in nature, how did you then sort of start balancing the business team objectives and legal considerations? Because sometimes those two objectives are not completely aligned.
I think this is quite close to the difference between the private practice lawyer and the in-house counsel. Where that, in my understanding, at least in my understanding, in-house counsel is also the promoter of the project. At the same time, deliberating the risks within the project to the management or to the business department or to other departments. How you balance those two would be, I think, as I told you before in this conversation, to understand the company's strategy and business department strategies and how the project is positioned within the strategy, and then also try to understand business team's goal, which means what they wanted to achieve through the project. So if you understand those, then you'll be able to come up with the solution to manage your risks. So I think it's impossible to be experts on all industries. As you know, there's experts for each industry or each, even in the legal industry, there's a specialist for each small sectors. So I don't think in-house counsel in a conglomerate like us can be experts on one certain sector or industry or field. However, we always have some advisors around us when we pursue a project. So what's necessary is to communicate with maybe business team who understand the business really well, or outside consultants who knows the business risks really well, or technical advisors or read the technical reports or financial reports or all other those materials, and then try to understand the risks in each business project, learn from there.
I like that a lot. Recognizing your limitations or the extent of your expertise and relying on very good advisors. That's a very good way to manage those risks. So we have talked a lot about your history, the business environment in which you're working in, and how you have developed your career. Let's finish up with one future-looking question. How do you foresee the role of legal departments evolving, and what challenges do you anticipate in the legal landscape looking forward?
For this question, I think there are two aspects. One aspect is regulatory tightening, and the other is IT innovation. So as to the regulatory tightening, I feel that the role of the legal department is expanding quite rapidly. As you can see from the conflict between China and the United States, or Russia, United States, there are lots of issues of sanctions coming in for these two years or so. So we have to watch out for those sanctions as well. And also, there are lots of regulatory issues arising in the European regulations, such as EU foreign subsidies regulations, etc., which would impact how we do the project.
Yes.
So I think these are something we need to cope with, and I think how we should do the work or how we process the work would be influenced by those regulatory tightening. So that's one aspect. And then the other one is IT innovation. I'm not sure how many people are using ChatGPT for their work or their private life, but since this technology has a huge impact on how we solve the problem, I feel that as a legal team, we would also need to incorporate those technologies into our workflow. I sort of see many lawyers or many in-house counsels are quite hesitant to rely on those technologies. But I, in my view, I feel that we need to sort of incorporate where we can into our workflow to make our work more productive in a way so that I can use those resources to other more important function.
Thank you for sharing that with us. I agree completely. There is many challenges ahead for lawyers learning how to balance new technologies and our work, which is traditionally very, very research-based. I also agree with you on that intersection between government and business becoming incredibly busy. Gone are the days where we would have a simultaneous and signing and closing on an M&A transaction. We now not only have merger control, we have FDI approvals and, of course, FSR now coming out of Europe. Look, we could talk for hours, but we need to wrap up there. I thank you so much for your time, for being so candid and sharing so openly your experiences. I know they'll be very valuable to our listeners. And thank you again for your time and have a lovely rest of your day.
Thank you from my side for your time as well. And I had a really good time talking with you today. Thank you.